Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Well, amen. That is our King, and Palm Sunday is about worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to start in Luke chapter 19, and we're also going to read part of John chapter 12, but Luke 19, and we'll start in verse 29. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into the village over there, he told them, and as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, and just as Jesus had said, and sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked him, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. And so they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and to sing. And as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. To accept worship as God is to say, I am God. So the Pharisees saying, hey, you need to get on them for worshiping you. You don't need to accept that. And Jesus says, what is he telling the Pharisees? I am God. We also get another viewpoint, perspective, in John chapter 12 in verse 9. It says, when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted him and believed in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. And they shouted, praise God, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and rode it, fulfilling the prophecy, which is out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Don't be afraid, people of Israel. Look, your king is coming riding on a donkey's colt. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your throne, we're thankful. We're thankful for this Holy Week, that we can worship you. May we be reminded that as we come to worship, it's not about us. It's about you. And Lord, that as you came riding on a donkey, a king riding on a donkey showing that you came to bring peace. But one day, you're coming back, but you're not riding a donkey. You're riding a white horse to right all the wrongs and to bring judgment and to separate the wheat from the chaff. And God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this Palm Sunday. May we be reminded it is about celebrating you. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. I don't know if it was Billy Graham or what pastor it was, but someone once said, I believe it was to Billy Graham, that ended up saying, you know what, I really did not like the worship today. It's what they said. And Billy Graham said, don't worry about it. It wasn't about you anyway. It was about Jesus. And as we come to church, sometimes we can have in our mindset, and granted, hey, we come to church to be fed the word of God, but we come to worship. We have kind of two different styles here of worship here at Southside, but it all is to the same person, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, we are here to worship the Lord. That's who we're here to worship. You know, when I think of worship and we come to church, and whatever we do, God wants us to worship him wherever we're at. I'm reminded of a farmer who had a bunch of different horses, and he wanted to make kind of a special horse, almost like a horse that would kind of be a witness to the other trail riders that were with him. So he decided that with this horse, he would train it to stop when he would say hallelujah. And when he wanted the horse to go, he would say praise the Lord. And so that's what he did. He set it up with the horse. Well, one day, as he's still training this horse, he's out on the trail, and the horse gets spooked. Horses can get, you know, spooked very easily, and it takes off. And kind of in the panic, he goes, Jesus, and the horse doesn't stop. He says, God, and the horse doesn't stop. He says, Bible, and he cannot think of the name of the word to get this horse to stop. And they're getting closer and closer to an area that has a cliff, and he's like, oh, well, I'm in trouble, and he can't think of the word. Finally, it comes to him. He says, hallelujah, and the horse, man, hits all fours, locks up, and just slides just moments before it would go over a cliff, and he sat back in his saddle and wiped the sweat off his brow and said, praise the Lord. We're here to praise God. We're here to praise God. And definitely in church, it's about being loved, but also loving. It's also about being served, but serving. That's what we're called to. And when we come here, we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What's interesting is Palm Sunday is, to one degree or another, is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, slightly from a different angle or different perspective. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John. In fact, Matthew says just part of it. He says, and when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. I mean, Jerusalem was ready to see Jesus. They're waiting for the Messiah to come and to rule and reign with an iron fist and get rid of their enemy Rome and have freedom. You could say it was like, make Israel great again. That was their mindset. And that's what's going on right here. And so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They were excited. They were pumped up. So what's the big deal about Palm Sunday? On Palm Sunday, Christians celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem the week before his death and resurrection. And I look forward. Man, I look forward to Palm Sunday. I look forward to Easter and even Good Friday. It's a time to celebrate. It's time to be reminded of our hope that we have in Jesus. That in this life, as Christians, you're going to have difficult things happen to you. Sometimes they're not fair, and sometimes you may even go, God, why did this happen? And you may not know. It's easy at times to blame God, but this is what I know, is that Scripture says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of that, even the hard, difficult stuff that happens in our life, God is still good. He's given us eternal life. He will right all the wrongs one day, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in that. You see, we've heard of oxymorons or self-contradicting phrases. For example, here's a couple of them. A couple of them would be like jumbo shrimp, right? Jumbo shrimp, freezer burn, white chocolate, plastic silverware, airline food, sanitary landfill, truthful tablet, professional restaurant. You could go on that. But here's the one I wanted to get to. Boring worship. There should be no such thing as boring worship. Now, some of us may express it a little bit differently than others. Some of you love to raise your hands, and that's fine. That's wonderful. I don't think we have any runners in here, so that's probably a good thing as a Baptist. But, you know, even if that was something you did, then God bless you. That's good. We might trip you here in a Baptist church, but we're glad you're excited.
But we all have different ways. Maybe you're a little more reserved and a little more of an introvert and you kind of keep it to yourself, but you love to sing. Listen, when we come into God's house, we come to worship. The service doesn't start when I open the Bible. It starts when we get here and we start to sing together. Man, we're worshiping the Lord. Every aspect of what we do is a form of worship. From even our tithes and our offerings are a form of worship. We sing as a form of worship. I mean, there should be no such thing as boring worship. Listen, if you're new here, I get it. I'm not picking on you. But if you're a member and you've been in church for a while and you kind of know how the whole church thing works, and you come in, you sit down, and you just kind of look at the words, and you kind of look, and you're like, okay. And like you look like you ate pickles for breakfast. I mean, like, you come... When you come to church, are you coming with an expectation to hear from the Lord, to get something from His Word, and with the expectation of, I get to praise Jesus. I get to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the attitude we should have when we come in. And listen, I'm thankful for those who watch online. And I mean, we were recording and we're on Facebook Live before the pandemic started. And we've kind of, you know, improved our setup and so on. And I'm glad we have, because listen, people typically will check out your church services online and watch them before they even come to your church. So it really does matter. But I'll say this, is the experience of being here and worshiping and hearing the word is different than watching it. It's something, there's just a difference when you're on your lazy boy or your couch and you're watching the service, and maybe you're still in your pajamas, and but there's a difference of preparing, getting ready, and going to church and having fellowship with other believers. But there's no such thing as boring worship. God's people should never, never, ever be boring. We might be a little weird, but we're not boring. Amen? So you're like, you just called me weird. Some of you might be a little weird. I love you, though. I do. And we love you. But just joking around a little bit. But boring? No. A.W. Tozer said this. A.W. Tozer said, if we can get it on the screen, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Listen, if you come into church and you're not ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because you're bored, whatever, you're not going to like heaven. What do you think we're going to do in heaven? We're going to worship God. It is going to be the concert of the age that's never ending, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And man, we get a little bit of a glimpse down here. We do. I remember it's been years ago. I've been to many different, you know, Christian concerts. And I remember there in Florida, there in Jacksonville, near where I was pastoring. And I've been to a couple of different winter jams, but this one, I don't know, it just really stands out. Maybe it was a song and the crowd, hearing the crowd sing, 16,000 people singing in unison. And I'm like, oh man, I just got a glimpse, just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. And I'm like, man, if this is just a glimpse of what heaven is like, heaven's going to be awesome. And when we come, don't worry about who's singing around you. Worry about if you're singing and worshiping God. Amen. And every now and then, listen, both services, I kind of check people out, man. Like, are they just singing at all? And man, it's not really new people I check out. It's really people who've been here for a while. And I'm like, they're not even singing. And you know what it is? And I don't say it's to judge you, but out of love, it's a reflection of your heart. Your heart has gotten hard, and it's far from the Lord. And we'll come back to the subject of hard-heartedness here in a moment, but it concerns me. Man, we're here to worship God. You know, the Holy Week, it attracted three types of people in Jesus' day, and it attracts three types of people today. First group is the disciples, the followers. They are bought in, man. This is like preaching to the choir. Then there's a second group, the curious. They're curious and they want to know more about Jesus. They just don't know certain things and they want to know more. And man, if that's you, we're so glad you're here and you're looking for answers. There's a third group, and we love this group too, but the doubters. the doubters that come for religious reasons, because if they really believed the words of Jesus, they would be disciples of Jesus. And the Pharisees, for example, I mean, they knew the Old Testament, but they were doubters. They had questions. And listen, it's okay to have questions. In fact, questions should help you dig deeper into the Word, dig deeper into theology, dig deeper into apologetics. I mean, it's okay to have questions. I have questions many times. And they should help bring you closer to God by digging in. And if you have questions, listen, I'm always happy to answer the best I can. We're not intimidated by your questions. We're not intimidated by the doubts you may have. In fact, we kind of get all excited about helping you with your doubts and showing you and how you can have even more of a solid foundation of your faith. But Palm Sunday is about celebrating Jesus. Palm Sunday is also about worship. And there's a passage that I want us to turn to, I'm going to focus in on, is Psalms 95. Psalms 95, if you'll turn over there with me, and it's really focused on worshiping and worshiping the Lord. So Psalms 95. And what you're going to see here is you're going to see three interwoven themes in this passage. A call to worship the true God, reasons why his people should worship him, and a warning against hardening our hearts. Joy, singing, and worship are natural results of a proper relationship with God. So Psalms 95, let's start off reading here, and it says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms and praise him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too." And I'm just going to add this in here. I think our next generation, and in some ways, it's very good, is very concerned and mindful about taking care of our earth. I think that's wonderful. But I also believe there's some things we've been kind of sold a bill of goods as well, that mankind's going to save planet Earth. You're not going to save it. You want to know why? It's not yours to save. Whose is it? It's the Lord's. He owns it. The sea is his, the land is his, and he'll do whatever he wants to do. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did in Meribah, as they did in Massa, in the wilderness. And there, your ancestors tested and tried my patience. And even though they saw everything I did, so they saw the miracles. They saw manna fall down from heaven. They saw the Red Sea part and walk through it. And there's people who go, you know what? I'd believe more. I'd have more faith. Or I would believe in Jesus if I just saw a miracle. No, you wouldn't. Israel saw some of the same things. And yet, their heart became very hard despite what they saw. In fact, verse 10 says, for 40 years, I was angry with them. And I said, there are a people whose hearts turned away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. And so in my anger, I took an oath, and they will never enter my place of rest, that being the promised land. I always thought as a kid that, man, it's too bad Moses didn't have a map to get them to the promised land. I mean, they wandered for 40 years. That's a long time. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. They left Egypt and they went to the promised land. It didn't take them very long. They got there and Moses was like, let's send 12 spies in. The 12 spies went in. 10 of them came back and said, there's huge giants there. And we're going to there. We're going to die. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, there's giants there. It's true. But the Lord has given us this land. Let's go in. And if you've been in church a while, you know the story. They didn't go in. And it became the Bible says, stiff-necked people, and they were stubborn. They had a hard heart. They weren't going to go in. And that's exactly what God is talking about right here. They had everything. They wouldn't hear his voice. They wouldn't hear his voice. And so God's like, I'm done with this generation. And except for Joshua and Caleb, the rest of that generation died off, and their children were the ones who went into the promised land. And God let them wander for 40 years. Can you imagine? You're wondering for 40 years, knowing where you should go, but because of your hard-heartedness, you just wonder. But yet Christians do it all the time. They know what they should do. They know what the word says. They know which direction they should go in their life. And they just wonder. They just wonder. So we get a warning. You know, see, worship is a spark that is a result of falling in love with their creator, their savior. Most folks have had the experience of dragging their foot along the carpet and then, you know, creating that static electricity and shocking somebody. I remember when I was a teenager, there was this church, Branch Hill Baptist Church, and we went to for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and I was a young teenager, I think 13, 14, and it had like the perfect carpet to drag your feet on to go shock people. And so my best friend David and I, we had a little game. It may have been my idea. We'll blame David though. And I said, hey, look, you get a point for every person you shock. Extra points if you shock the preacher. I don't remember if we shocked the preacher or not. We may have accidentally. But here's the thing, is that you want to experience worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What should you do? Man, rub up against God long enough. Rub up against his word. Rub up against it in prayer. Or worshiping during the week. And listen, a spark, a shock is going to come out. It's going to come. Now, we don't serve God, I get it, with all of our feelings, but feelings do matter. And there's times I realize that in your life, spiritually, it may feel more like the desert. It may feel like the springtime and things are fresh and new, or things are, you know, a new chapter. It could feel like the summer and things are going great. It could feel like the fall. You know, I realize we go through those times. And I think even sometimes God, not that, as the scripture says, you know, you draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. No question. But sometimes it's almost like, sometimes you can't always feel the Lord in a season. And I think one of the reasons he may do that, this is my opinion, is that he does that so you won't just follow him searching for a feeling every single time. Because faith is a decision. Faith is a choice. And sometimes you got to make the choice to believe and have faith in his word, despite what your feelings may be, what you may be feeling in that moment. And I'm not saying ignore our feelings. I'm not saying feelings don't matter. And there's times I feel really close to God. And there's times like, God, I haven't really done anything wrong, but I don't feel that close to you. And maybe there's something that, you know, needs to be confessed or something I should be doing I'm not doing. Like, that can happen. I get it, right? But there's times in which we all, I think, have been there. What should you do? Worship the Lord anyway. You see, true worship is not in mere outward form. True worship flows from a heart made right with God. And Jesus says something very interesting in Luke 19, verse 38 through 40. I want to show this passage to you. He quotes a Psalms 148. It says, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if they should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." But it's interesting, in verse 1, he's quoting part of Psalms 148, verse 1. Now I want you to turn over to Psalms 148. I want to show you something. And this is just kind of... I think Jesus is quoting Psalms 148. I don't think it would have just been the rocks that would cry out. I think it was much, much more. And he's kind of alluding maybe possibly to that by quoting part of verse 1. In verse 2, it says, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and the moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command, and they came into being, and he set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths. Fire, hail, snow, clouds, wind, weather that obey him. Mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all the cedars, wild animals and all the livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges on the earth, young men, young women, old men, children, let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and the heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. And it's like Jesus telling these Pharisees, listen, if these people, if they're not going to worship me as God, even the rocks will cry out. And Christian, don't leave it to the rocks to do the praise. Praise him. And all of creation was designed by him. You can praise him. And don't miss out on what you were designed for. You see, you will worship someone or something. It may be yourself. It may be a job. It may be a person. You will worship something. God made you for worship. And when we are not worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and rubbing up against him, so to speak, then we're not, our heart is not going to, it's not going to be submitted to his will. And when you're not submitted to his will, you're not going to worship him accordingly. And so, God is the reason for our worship. And from Psalms 95, from verse 3 to verse 7, he makes it clear. The reason he gives for worship are these. Jehovah God is great. Therefore, he is great. He is worthy of worship. He is the king of the universe. He is the creator of the world and of mankind, of everything. He has a special relationship with his people. And they can say, he is our God. We are his people and his sheep under his care. And God wants to hear from us. And listen, worship should not just happen in our lives, just in church. God designed us and wants us to worship him even outside of church, during the week. And you can worship in different ways. For some, maybe you just simply need to take your Bible, go out into the woods, and just have silence and meditating upon God's word and meditating and while in prayer and focusing on what God wants for you and what you should do. That is worship. For some of you, maybe you need to stop listening to some of the trash that you listen to during the week that just brings you down musically, and listen to good, godly music that's going to build you up, pump you up, keep you focused on worshiping Jesus. Now, I know I've said it before, like, I'm not like, hey, everything outside of Christian music is bad. Like, I realize there's secular stuff that's wonderful to listen to. But man, when you have junk in your life, it's not going to help you focus and worship on God. It's just not. Worship during the week, of having that quiet time with him, having it in church. We gather in church, and part of what we do is worshiping the Lord. That's why we gather. The Bible is very clear. It's very clear that as Christians, we're called to assemble together according to Hebrews 10:25. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but a Christian does go to church. You can't read the New Testament and go, yeah, those people were halfway dedicated. They just went once a month or once a year or whatever. No, they went. They were a part of it. They were in the fellowship. They were willing to die for their faith. They were willing to go. They looked forward to it. See, in sports, there's something called the home field advantage. What's so important about the home field advantage is that when you are playing in front of your fans, in front of your crowd, your home city, and some of you are sports fans, and you go and you cheer, and the team seems to play better. A lot of teams play better at home. Why is it? Because it's like this extra energy which is given by people cheering you on, and there to help you. I remember once when I was in high school, we were playing a basketball game, and my junior year, and man, it was so loud. Like you had to yell to communicate to your teammate because it was so loud in the gym. And it was crazy. And it was against a town that was close by. And when we made a basket, our side, you know, was so loud. And when they made a basket, the other side was so loud. And there was times they both were so loud. And it was an experience of being there in the middle of it. But if you were just watching it on TV, you go, oh, that was loud. But you wouldn't get it. And there's certain things you just don't get unless you're in church together. And it shows this is important. This matters. And I know kids get sick, and I know people have bad days, and I'm glad you can watch online and you're watching online. But if you can be here with your church family. Like, it's important. It's important. You need to be here. It's better in person. You have the home field advantage. And anyone who's worshiping God privately will worship him publicly. When you come in, man, don't come in like you're going to a funeral. Don't go in like you're going to a funeral. Go in ready to worship the Lord. You see, God desires us to worship him. And in this psalm, Psalm 95, there's a warning given. It was given to, you know, to the Israelites, but it's a principle we can bring out to the church today. Really can. Notice what it says. In verse 8, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. Don't harden it. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience. And for 40 years I was angry with them. And they are people whose hearts turned away from me. Their hearts got hard. And when your heart is hard, I mean, God's desire in verse 7 is, if only you would listen to his voice today. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to know. But you must make a decision to be all in. You see, a hard-hearted person murmurs and complains on a consistent basis. Murmuring is like someone who just tends to like a low groan, almost like they complain almost like a one-on-one. It means that they don't necessarily do it openly, but they'll do it privately. They'll do it behind the scenes. And people who, man, are murmurers and complainers, it was like all the time, they rarely worship God with any type of joy. That's what I've noticed. Being a pastor, I've been a pastor for like 17 years. I've been in church for a while. And that's what I noticed, is people who murmur and complain usually the most worship the least. Amen. There's a connection. And it's biblical. We come to worship. There was someone who went to a preacher and called up the pastor and said, hey, I'd like to join the church, but I really don't want to serve. I'd like to join church, but I really don't want to tithe. I want to join the church, but I'm not really, you know, not really much on worshiping much. And the pastor said, man, I'm so glad you called, but I think you have the wrong church. But I'm going to recommend one to you. And he gave him the address of a church. And so the man wrote down the address, and he went to go check out the church. And he and his wife pulled up, and what they saw was an abandoned church building boarded up, ready for demolition. There's a convicting question I heard, and I actually heard this at Branch Hill when I was going to church there. This is what the pastor said. He said, if every church member worshiped and served God the way you do, what kind of church would our church be? It's a convicting question. And I'm asking you to ask that of yourself. You may go, but there's a lot of people at Southside. There's, you know, a pretty decent sized church at Southside. And surely it doesn't really matter that much of what I do and how I live. If you're a believer in Christ, it matters how you live. There's not one of us that's perfect in here. I know that. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And we're not claiming perfection. And grace is available for all. But man, God has called you to worship and to serve him. Christian, you need to watch your heart. You need to watch where it's at, because what you do matters. As a Southside, we are a body of believers. And even a pinky or even a pinky toe or whatever small part, it's broken, when it's not being used the right way, it affects us more than we realize. And we need you, every single part of you. I want you to know you're loved, and we're glad you were here. But at the end of the day, are you going to worship and serve God? Hey, we come to church to worship. We come to church to serve and be served, to love and to be loved. And the Bible warns us about guarding our heart and about watching our heart. Because, man, when it starts to get hard and it starts to get cold, we don't view worship the same. We don't view children the same, right? We view new people as an inconvenience. And what can easily happen is we get focused on, instead of focusing on reaching out to new people, we get focused on us four and no more. And easily cliques can develop. And I get it. Like sometimes, like maybe you've known somebody for ages, you know, since elementary school, or you grew up with them. And that's wonderful to have those deep rooted relationships. But you also need to be looking out. And as part of the mission, as part of the gospel, is looking around. When's the last time you invited someone to your connection group? When's the last time you looked for someone new that was in church and you said, hey, my wife and I would love to take you out to lunch? When's the last time you said, you know what, I'm going to call so-and-so. I haven't seen them in a while. If that's you, it could be that you are becoming hard-hearted and very inward focused and only focused on us four no more. And we need those relationships. We want the church to feel like a family. But sometimes people will neglect reaching out to new people because they only want to keep that family feel. And I love that family feel. I get what you're saying. And we need that. And that's one of the points of connection groups. But my friend, you need to focus on the mission. Focus on the gospel. Focus on being welcoming. And Christian, only you can answer this. Where is your heart? Is it ready to listen to the voice of God and ready to worship? Or has it become hard like the Israelites? You're getting set in your ways, ignoring God's voice, and doing only what you want to do. All of creation was designed by God. All of creation is set and ready to worship God. The question is, will you join in? God, we sometimes get caught up in so much that we have going on in our lives, from our children, being in activities, work during the week. God, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's not about entertainment. It's not about putting on a facade. It's all about you. You don't care what our bank account says. You don't care what home we live in or what car we drive. You want our hearts. If you have our hearts, you have our worship. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your love and the forgiveness in which you offer. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.